It's time to sit back, relax, and listen to Conversations with Joan. Conversations with Joan will inspire, motivate, and empower you. Live your best life now. Listen, learn, think, and decide. And now, here's your host, Joan Herman.
Welcome to Change Your Attitude, Change Your Life's Conversations with Joan. I'm Joan Herman. Thanks for tuning in. Conversations with Joan focuses on topics that are important to your life, from health and wellness to professional development to personal well-being. Changemakers join me to share their insights, tips, and strategies so you can thrive and live your best life now. Thank you for taking time for yourself, and thank you for letting us be a part of your life. Now, let's start talking. Society gives us very clear messages about what we're supposed to look like, and when we don't conform, we're left feeling ashamed, insecure, angry, and frustrated. Today's guest, Cara Richardson-Whiteley, works to raise awareness about the importance of embracing diverse body types. At more than 300 pounds, Cara climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, bringing her from the depth of self-doubt to the top of the world. Her difficult trek speaks to every woman who has struggled with negative self-image. Cara joins us today to talk about her journey of intense passion, endurance, and self-acceptance. Cara is the founder and CEO of The Gorgeous Agency, an outdoor adventurer and influencer, and author of the book, Gorge, My Journey Up Kilimanjaro at 300 Pounds. Her story is soon to be a movie produced by and starring This Is Us actress Chrissy Metz. Welcome, Cara. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, John.
So, Cara, you have such a fascinating story, and you are doing really important work. So how did you get started? I want to talk about the mountain climbing aspect first. How did you get interested in mountain climbing?
Well, as somebody who's lived in a larger body for the majority of my life, I first started struggling with weight when I was 9 years old, and then it really amplified when I was 12. And, I really struggled with binge eating disorder, and what that is the most common eating disorder out there, but often the least talked about. And so when I was going through traumas, which I did at a very early age, I would stuff down those feelings with food. And unlike bulimia, it wasn't like I purged afterwards. So the weight really kept on going and going. And the more that I ate for feelings and pushing away feelings, the more I pushed away also joy from my life. And so, whenever you have any kind of coping mechanism, whether it's food or drugs, alcohol, gambling, it's about pushing away, right? And what I noticed was I was about to turn 30, and I got this adventure travel catalog in the mail, and I thought to myself, well, I'll do that when I lose weight. And I realized how much of a conversation that was in my head that I didn't feel worthy until I dropped pounds, right? Mm-hmm. And I realized I said that about everything. I'll buy myself a whole new wardrobe when I lose weight. I'll go to the doctors when I lose weight. And everything was put behind this goal of changing my body. But when I looked at this adventure travel catalog and I was about to turn 30, I realized, I'm not getting any younger. And so when am I going to start doing these things? And how can I be a hiker girl when I, at the time, do not fit the mold of the way that hikers were shown in marketing materials, in these glossy images? How could I be part of that world in the body that I was in? And so that meant, going to the trail. I mean, I grew up in New Jersey. I was living in New Jersey at the time. I grew up in Vermont, Canada. And there were a lot of flat trails. And so how could I just start? And that meant, taking my first steps around, Watchung Reservation and this tiny little 20-minute trail that probably a preschool could do as a field trip. But for me, it was these first steps into the woods. And what I realized was that, being in the woods, instead of pushing away all that negative stuff, it was all about pulling it in. And so when you hike on a trail, you never know what's coming, right? You might know the trail. You might have studied it before or glanced at the trailhead, but you don't know if it's been rainy, so it's super muddy or a little bit icy, or maybe you'll even see a bear. But you go ahead step after step, pulling in all the emotions of fear and excitement and terror and joy. Because sometimes, you know, on a trail, I've seen the most beautiful and wonderful and rewarding things that I've seen in my life. And so those steps toward, you know, on flat New Jersey trails were the first steps of me really recognizing how powerful the outdoors and hiking can be for me.
Well, you just described, I'm someone who has also struggled with weight most of my life. I'm a yo-yo dieter, so I do understand that mentality of I'll do this when I lose weight. You talked about starting off on the trails and just getting out there and doing it. And that really is the key to just do something. I always say Nike had the best slogan, just do it. But how did you go from walking those flat trails to climbing? How do you make that leap?
Well, it's definitely not overnight. And, you know, for anyone who has Kilimanjaro or something similar, whether it's Everest Base Camp, I'm not talking about the tippy top of Everest, but or Machu Picchu or something higher on their life list or bucket list, you really want to allocate like a good 4 to 6 months to just train in that direction and to seek professionals or guidance to get you to that place. But for me, it was, you know, once I started doing a 20-minute trail, well, I really liked it. And I found movement that brought me joy and interest. And then I wanted to do more. And I wanted to do more. And every molehill led to a mountain. Every mountain led to a taller mountain or a longer trail. I mean, I found that just this past weekend, you know, I've been really, really tied up with work. We've got it. I'm speaking at Transform, which is a huge HR conference in March. And I've got a number of really big things coming down the pipeline. And I realized I hadn't been out in a bit. And so I took a little walk with my family. Maybe it was a mile and a half. Maybe it was two. And I'm like, oh, right. I've missed this. And so it has this for me, because I find it joyful, it has this pull to do more, you know, to just keep moving forward, you know, just keep, you know, what's the next step from here?
What did people say to you when you told them that you were going to do this climb?
Yeah, that's a great question, because a lot of people thought that it was crazy because I was in a larger body, but I knew that I was doing the training. I was, you know, working out, you know, my stamina, my spirit, my strength, those three things, you know. So stamina meant a lot of hiking. Strength meant that I was doing a lot of strength training so that my core and the muscles around my knees were strong. But spirit, I spent a lot of time, you know, doing yoga, and my favorite part was Savasana, where, you know, you had a moment to just be in your own mind and meditate. And I loved that opportunity to just believe for a second and see myself at the top of the mountain. Because when you ask the question of what do people say, well, a lot of people couldn't believe that that was something that I was doing it. And they're like, good luck, you know. It's the same way when I talk about the movie Gorge. There's often this little question that comes when I tell people that Chrissy Metz is involved in the movie, because she, like me, is in a larger body. And the question is, oh, is she going to climb Kilimanjaro too? And which is a silly question, because it's not a documentary, right? It's a feature film. And people do plenty of things in movies that they don't do in real life. You know, people go to the moon or go into space in movies. They don't really do that in real life. People, you know, murder people on movies, but they didn't actually kill someone on set. And so I feel like it's a question that's baked in such judgment about looking at someone's body and feeling what they're capable of, mm-hmm. just in knowing the narrative of their body, just by seeing the shape of it. And so there was a lot of judgment. There was a lot of fear that I wasn't going to survive this trek to 19,343 feet. But I knew that I had put in the work. I had taken the steps and I was ready. I wouldn't have gone if I wasn't.
Where do you think that stigma comes from?
Oh my gosh, there are so many places that fat phobia has been rooted in, and judgment, and so much of it is this, you know, the patriarchy. Actually, there's a lot of roots where a lot of fat phobia is based in actual racism. I think the fear of the black body. I just posted something on LinkedIn about that link between racism and fat phobia, and it's really important to start to see about why do we judge people's bodies, particularly women's, hold a standard of slender ideal versus just accepting people as they are. And, you know, fat bodies have been around throughout time, and so much of people's bodies are not how they eat or move. A lot of it is just genetics or health conditions as well. So it's really important to not really judge the narrative of someone's body just by looking at them.
Well, and if you look at what you've accomplished, you are in really good physical shape. And yet, as you were describing, people just didn't see that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think that, that's what, you know, the work we do at the Gorgeous Agency is not only, it basically has two tracks. One is in internal to help companies navigate the conversation about body inclusion and how to have difficult conversations about weight stigma in the workplace. Because there have been so many narratives that have been created for us that you have to be in a skinny body to be have a healthy body, when in fact there's a lot of research that doesn't necessarily say that's true. You know, what you want to encourage are health behaviors like getting enough sleep, moving your body, eating nutrient-dense foods. But for someone like me, I have a condition called lipedema, and lipedema is a fat tissue disorder. And I didn't even know this when I wrote Gorge. I carry the majority of my weight between my navel and my knees, and come to find out, like, gosh, that's actually a fat disorder that you know, if I want to remove that tissue, it takes surgery to do that. It's not going to leave on its own. There's no amount of diet or exercise that would even change that. And then same goes with, you know, if somebody drops a large amount of pounds, well, they might be going through something that has nothing to do with, you know, how many carbs they're eating or something like that. I mean, I have a friend who is going through some really challenging personal stuff. I mean, really traumatic. And because she was living on adrenaline, she just started losing weight. And instead of people talking to her about what was really important and what she was going through, they would just automatically say, oh my gosh, she looks so amazing. And same goes with a friend of mine who ultimately died of cancer. You know, they didn't know she had cancer, and yet the only thing they could think of was to comment on her body. And so it goes both ways in building that awareness about body inclusion in the workplace, and also for retailers to know that this plus size community is absolutely underserved, and there's a huge opportunity for people to explore how to reach and connect with this audience. It's so, so important.
Today we hear a lot about people that are taking particular drugs to lose weight. What do you want to say to our young girls when they see a celebrity that might be just popping a pill and trying to lose weight quickly by those methods? What would you say to that young girl to try to show them that that's not necessarily the best approach to take?
Yeah, it's such a tricky conversation, isn't it? I mean, there's so many facets of talking about, particularly in the injectable weight loss drug market. I think the most alarming thing was when the American Pediatric Association suggested marketing these, or sharing these drugs with kids, and who, you know, I think of myself as a child, and when I was 12 years old, I had a lot of trauma. I was my parents had a really messy divorce. I was sexually assaulted actually on my 12th birthday. And so I was in the throes of binge eating disorder at the time, right? And also what I now know is that I was struggling with lipedema, and lipedema is often triggered or at its, you're most susceptible for growth of lipedema tissue when you're at, in pubescent stages, or I'm sorry, in high hormonal spikes, right? And so puberty, of course, is right there. And so I think to myself, what would my doctor have said if this was available at the time, right? And judging my body and just kind of going with the narrative that this injectable, this pill, this whatever will change things for you, when my body shape and size has stayed relatively the same, no matter how many mountains I climb, no matter how I've even had 3 lipedema surgeries, and it's still pretty similar to where I left off. I'm just trying to relieve some pressure on my knees, right? So, it's important to embrace where you are in your body and that you take care of your body in ways that make you feel joyful, right? And that it's not about the weight, it's about the behavior. So if you find yourself binge eating or stress eating, that there might be something else going on there. And, sometimes these things that are promoted, whether it's a weight loss drug or a kind of behavior or fast, or it doesn't solve for the fact of are you taking care of your mind and body in ways that nourish and support what your goals are, or are you just trying to fit into an ideal or something on Instagram or TikTok?
I'm older, and I have to say, for the first time in my life, it does appear that we're seeing a little bit more about body diversity and inclusion, and I think that we're starting to head in the right direction. But there's a lot that we still need to be doing. From what you've learned and the work that you're doing, what can society do differently to foster inclusion?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I think that there's a number of things. I mean, we work primarily with corporations to help them, to guide them and navigate them through body inclusion efforts, because I believe very strongly that corporations have such power mm-hmm. over the grand messaging. So that's one thing that we do at the Gorgeous Agency is to help lead those conversations. But on the whole, I mean, you want to talk to, you want to challenge your notions about what, how you judge folks that you see and the narrative that you assign when you see a body. It's time to start questioning that. And so the work we do in workplaces is to help guide and combat that unconscious bias. It's really important to start having these conversations now about how you're seeing and assigning attributes to people because of their body size, because studies have shown that negative thoughts and feelings about other marginalized groups have actually gone down, but negative thoughts and feelings about people in larger bodies have actually increased recently. And so it's time to start thinking about how we treat and how we consider people in larger bodies as different and other, and do we hold negative thoughts and feelings about that, and what do you do with them, right? It's important to start evaluating that in your own mind, challenging things that you're seeing on TV, like, is this real? Especially in the world of AI, I mean, this is a whole new conversation to be had about how are people showing up in virtual realities and things like that. So it's important to start thinking about how this all affects the world around us and how we're thinking about bodies.
The book is Gorge, My Journey Up Kilimanjaro at 300 Pounds. Cora, where can our listeners go to learn more about you and your work?
You want to go to thegorgeousagency.com, and there you'll see information about the work that we've done. We have a really great resource, again, for people who want to start having this conversation or thinking deeper about body inclusion. There is a body inclusion library there. If you look at media and resources, you'll also see some information about the work we've done including a case study that we just released for our work with Peloton. And then you'll see a number of testimonials and really how to reach out to us and work with us as well.
Cora, thank you so much for spending this time with us.
It was absolutely my pleasure. Thank you so much, Joan, and thanks, listeners, for tuning in.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you found the show informative. At Change Your Attitude, Change Your Life, we believe that knowledge is power. Take what you've learned, apply it, and live your best life now. Remember that the information provided is the opinion of our guest and should never replace the advice of a professional who knows your personal situation. If you'd like more information, visit our website, CYACYL.com. That stands for Change Your Attitude, Change Your Life. While on our site, listen to past shows on demand, read the digital magazine, sign up for our mailing list, and be sure to follow the show on social media. Until next time, this is Joan Herman. Thanks for tuning in.